DW Africa Link.
Oh, come on, be a man. Man up. Men don't cry. Be strong. Statements like these force men to ignore mental health issues as they suffer through it alone. Good mental health helps you handle stress, relate to others, and make decisions. So it's important to seek help when you feel something is off. But here's the thing. A lot of people, especially men, do not seek the necessary help they need. So are men's mental health overlooked and underplayed? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter from Africa and beyond.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
According to health experts, having a mental health issue means that something is affecting how you think, feel, or behave, making it hard to cope with everyday life. This could be anxiety, depression, or other conditions that impact your mood, your thoughts, or your actions. This in turn can have a negative impact on your family and friends, co-workers, and community members. Now, mental health issues are affecting many young Africans. Here at DW Africa, we have a show called Healthy Me No Cap, which, among other health issues, addressed mental health concerns. I'm going to play you a short clip from one of the episodes where we meet Brian Emmanuel, a young Kenyan man who battles with anxiety.
You know, somebody is hearing anxiety, but they don't know what that feels like. What does that feel like for you?
Right now I'm shaking a bit and my breathing is a bit hard. There's a time it gets really bad. Like, you can't even breathe. You panic even more. The more you feel like your body is failing on you and your heart is beating so fast, you're sweating. You're kind of disoriented and you feel like running, but you can't even run. Like, it's so intense.
Many people with mental disorders have experienced this stigma. Is that something that you've experienced in your journey, or have you been lucky?
Actually, what happens, they concentrate so much with the illness and they forget the individual. So they end up having a negative perception towards the individual just because they don't understand the illness.
You can find more episodes of Healthy Me on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Now, I may know a thing or two about mental health issues, but I am not a doctor. So let me introduce you to Dr. Chinonso Egemba, medical doctor and host of Healthy Me No Cap. Hello, doc. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, it's nice to talk to you again, especially on a topic like this.
We also have the co-creator of Healthy Me, No Cap, my colleague Michael Oti. Hello, Michael.
Yes, I'm good. This is a question that we ask ourselves a lot as men, but often it hides the fact that many of us are not doing good.
But let's start with you, Doc. When we say someone has mental health issues, it sounds so technical. Yeah. Can you break it down for us?
Now, when we say someone has a mental health issue, it means that that person is struggling to cope with the stresses of life, right? Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you have a good day. It's like when you drive a car through some roads in Africa. I don't know about you guys in Ghana. Probably you guys have better roads than we do. But sometimes in Nigeria, we have really bumpy roads. And life is a bumpy ride, right? And because it's a bumpy ride, we're going to come across some impacts, some things that don't go well. When it starts to affect the way we think, the way we cope, the way we feel, in a way that starts to affect how productive we become and affects our daily lifestyle, then we say that such person, you know, has some sort of mental health issue.
Why is it so difficult for men to admit that they have a mental health issue and seek help?
We've been programmed by society to believe that asking for help means you're weak. And because of that programming, we feel that at every point in your life as a man, you have to display that you're strong, you know, and ignore your issues. because of how society has programmed men to not admit their weaknesses. And there's also something that has been discovered, you know, very recently called toxic positivity, you know, where, you know, I'm good, I'm fine, nothing is wrong, without admitting that, yes, it is very possible that I may not feel good about what's currently happening to me, but that does not make me a weaker person. And it even starts from when we're kids. We make very funny statements like, why are you crying like a girl? Without realizing that crying could be a way for people to vent those negative emotions that are inside of them, and even help people probably even process pain better or a negative situation better. So, yeah.
Look, I'll be honest. I don't really remember the last time I shed tears on something sad or emotional per se. And I'm not saying this to sound tough. It actually has been a while. And sometimes I envy people, men in particular, who are able to express their emotions and cry about things. I don't know about Michael, who I'm going to now, my colleague and fellow Ghanaian. Michael, yeah. How difficult is it for a man in your experience in Ghana to open up about his emotions or any mental health issue for that matter?
Well, I'd say that talking about our emotions literally does not exist. In the conversations that I've had growing up within my social circle, you don't have men or us men bearing our emotions out to each other. You know, you have to figure out a way to deal with your problem on your own. Because that's what you do. That's what you, when you're born a man, you're born to solve problems. You are born to deal with your issues. You don't go running around and chit-chatting, you know, and complaining about your problems to people. And so within my social circle, I haven't seen anyone, we don't talk about mental health in my social circle. You know, we talk about so many other things. We talk about business, we talk about, you know, family, but football. Never I'm struggling to do this. Or I have some things on my mind I can't get off, nothing about that. And I feel like many of us do not even have the vocabulary to have that sort of conversation. We don't even know how to start it.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say that it's also a cultural thing? Is it something we even got from our parents, our moms, our dads? Where do you think this comes from, Michael, in your experience?
Absolutely. It's definitely a cultural thing. If you grew up in a family where your parents never spoke about their emotions, or your dad never expressed his emotions, of course you don't learn, or you don't get to understand that you can also express your emotions. You see your uncles, you see your brothers, and nobody openly talks about their struggles, mental health struggles. The only time we talked about mental health growing up was if somebody was in the psychiatric hospital. They would call them mad men, you know? So these were the only kinds of men who had or who were talked about in the context of mental health. Not people who had anxiety or depression or who had some stresses of life. It was only the mad men, and you don't want to be a madman.
Before you get to that stage where it seems difficult to return from, that's why it's important to address the issues the moment you start feeling them, right, Doc? That's exactly what I'm sure you believe in. But also, what are the things I should look out for to make me realize, oh, I actually could be developing a mental health issue?
So when it comes to mental health issues, there are quite a number of them, right? And we do not have any blankets symptom for most of them. However, there are some symptoms that you should look out for, especially for one of the commonest mental health issues that most men in Africa face, and that's depression, right? And we'll start from the emotional issue, you know, the emotional symptoms. Once people start noticing, I'm usually not happier than I usually would be, you know, I don't seem to experience that burst of happiness, you know, when small things happen. Sometimes it could be being nervous. One of the things to look out for, most importantly, is what we medical people refer to as anhedonia. What that basically means is that the things that usually give you pleasure, men, you no longer derive pleasure from them. Yes, that's a red flag. That's a real red flag right there, you know. Other times, it could be things like irritability. You know, they're just angry. Small things would trigger them.
Yeah, someone would say, but it's human nature to be angry. The fact that I get angry more than you shouldn't really be a problem. Are we in a way saying that if you get angry quite often, you should go check yourself?
Sometimes in order not to face the negative emotions that they're trying to face, they delve deeper into work for, you know, oh, I don't want to think about that. It's escapist behavior. Some people use, aside from work, some people delve into women. Some people delve into drinking. Some people start to go into, you know, other kind of drugs. Some people become violent. Some people, you know, binge watch stuff, misuse alcohol. So these are red flags that, you know, we should pay attention to.
Yeah, listening to you, I'm beginning to question myself a bit, which is a good sign, I guess, because there's been times where, you know, some little things affect me more than I thought they would. And I'm like, why am I so angry at this? And I kind of took it as normal. But is it possible to cure a mental health disease?
Oh, yes. Mental health issues can be cured, right? It depends on how early, number one, it's recognized. But I think one of the first things that must occur is that there must be whoever is going through that issue has to first own up that there is an issue. Some are managed, but definitely it is manageable. I think manageable is a much better word to use rather than, you know, curing in the sense of the word curing. But they can be managed. Other times, it could be well-meaning individuals who are very close to that person that can see those signs and symptoms and, you know, point it out. Oh, I think this person needs help. And they intervene. And the earlier it is managed, the better.
The better, yes. Michael, helping me, no cap. You have dealt with so many different topics regarding mental health challenges. One of them, depression, and a couple of others. What is the feedback that you got, especially from young men on the continent? And were you surprised with that feedback when you did those topics?
At the start of the project, we realized that there was a gap in especially mental health reporting. And so what we tried to do with Healthy Me No Cap was to get to everyday people who have had struggles with mental health, but not just that, people who have overcome their struggles. And the response has been very, very good. We get a lot of direct feedback from our social media pages, and they say, wow, this is actually me. This is how I feel. Mm. Oh, this has been so useful for me. I didn't know that this was so rampant. There were a lot of people who were experiencing the same thing. Where can I get help? Because again, a lot of the young people are on social media. And I wanted to pick up on something that Doc said, and I'll link it to social media. I have personally seen some young people display behavior on social media that is a bit concerning. But in this age where, I mean, you first of all, you are removed from the person. You're not a doctor. You cannot diagnose them. I don't know if Doc has any advice for if anybody listening to us notices any disturbing behavior from someone on social media, how should we deal with such a person?
Oh, yes. I would say from personal opinion, and this is not medical opinion, that if you have a personal relationship with that person, it tends to be a lot easier. Sometimes, maybe not a personal relationship. The person could be an acquaintance. I think it all depends on your, because of the kind of environment we live in, it might be a bit difficult breaching some of these issues. However, if the issues are so vocal or loud or very obvious, for example, somebody who seems to be displaying various personalities, and you're pretty sure that this person is not acting, it might be great to bring a professional into this particular conversation, because at some point that person might be a source of harm, not just to themselves, but to the people around them also.
So much pressure online, you know, when you post something, a picture, a video, you want to come back and see how many likes did you get, how many views did you get. You see someone in a flashy car, comfortable home, nice partner. You feel like, why can't you have that life? It's like they never argue, such a perfect marriage. And that obviously all heaps a lot of pressure. One thing I also took from you, Doc, is you can't help someone who is not ready to be helped, right? You cannot really drag someone to the hospital. They have to acknowledge that they are in trouble and that they need help and are ready to seek the help. And I think sometimes that can be challenging. Doc, I'm going to leave you with the last words. How can we encourage young men on the continent to speak out more often about their mental health challenges and get the help that they need?
I believe that young men out there can speak up on challenges, but I believe that a first step to that is for men having close-knit communities that focus on helping ourselves, right? Most times when men gather, and I feel that we also need to change that mindset, when men gather, we're not creating a safe space for ourselves. We're creating a space where people come to brag about their achievements without realizing that we also need to create that space where we need to be there for each other, no matter how bad life may seem. And we have also created, I don't seem to know whether it's a third world problem. You know, I have some postulations myself, but I almost feel that we've built a culture where if you're not helping me with money, I don't believe you've helped me at all. And that's because a lot of the mental health problems that a lot of African men face are tied to poverty in one way or the other, right? And so the help has almost been categorized as money.
So on that note, Michael, you can always talk to me. You know, you're my colleague. If you have any issues, feel free. Yeah. We can create our community starting with you and me and talk about this.
It goes both ways. Yeah. My doors are always open for you, Eddie.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Well, this... I could go on with this discussion for hours because it's such an important discussion, but I appreciate all the insights I've gathered. Dr. Chinonso Igemba, and also my colleague, Michael O.T., co-creator of Healthy Me No Cap.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
What comes up again and again is access to mental health treatment and, of course, the stigma surrounding it. Mental health issues do not discriminate, no matter how glamorous your lifestyle may be. Highly regarded Johannesburg-based artist Seth Pimento displays his art internationally. But as Seth tells Nozibele Mayaba from DW's Don't Hold Back podcast, he too struggles from mental health issues.
Seth, I want to ask, do you feel we have addressed mental health, particularly when it comes to how it affects males in South Africa, or just generally, actually, not in South Africa?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of tired of this conversation of, you know, men, we like, oh, men's mental health is an issue. Men should communicate with each other about our issues. Mm-hmm. There's this constant thing that I see on TikTok where it's like, you know, male loneliness has increased by 63% and men's suicides are like the highest in the world. Like, I understand these statistics. I am a man. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like. But men also don't want to communicate their feelings. Go to therapy, my guy. Go take meds. If you can't afford to, do it. If you can't afford to, communicate with your friends. I find it so irritating that men will vocalize and vocally complain about, I am so depressed, I have no one and I have nothing, but they will ignore communicating those feelings to their closest friends. They would rather drink those feelings away, or they would rather fight those feelings away, as opposed to just being doing the most human thing and communicate. I have bipolar. I suffer with battling suicidal ideas, but I go to therapy. You know, I take meds. Yes, it's not cheap. I budget for it. I put a large amount of money away for my therapy per month and for my meds. You know, and I think people always want to feel like a sense of pity for men because, like, oh, shame, like. Just vocalize your feelings. Women have a tendency to do that, you know. Women are vocal with their feelings towards each other. And why can't we do the same thing? Prior to going to therapy, I was on the same breath. I was very like, it sucks being a man. There's so many social pressures. There's so many small nuanced experiences that we have to go through that we don't ever experience, we don't ever get to vocalize.
Yeah.
You know, we just say it is what it is. And then I started going to therapy and I'm like, oh, dude, nah, man, like, it's not what it is. You don't have to say it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like in many African countries, Zambia's young men are also experiencing mental health issues. Let's welcome my colleague, Kathy Short. She is DW's correspondent in Zambia.
According to the Ministry of Health study that was done in 2023, about 20% of Zambia's population is impacted by mental health. And about 13% of those in the study are men, and especially young men. Zambia, like many other African countries, has the majority of its population between the ages of 15 to 30, the youths. So they are struggling with high unemployment rates and also just harsh economic realities. 60% of Zambia's population are living in poverty, according to the government statistics that were released last year in 2023. And I think this year, the situation could even get worse because it's like, it's one crisis after the other.
What are the treatment options available to them as they try to get help to deal with it?
There are several. There's one big hospital, which is called Chinama Hills Hospital, has a stigma because it's associated with being mad. And that's the only mental health situation or illness that is widely known. So people, when they hear Chinama, they think you're mad, but it's overcrowded. It doesn't have a lot of psychiatrists. The last time I was writing a story in 2022, there were only three psychiatrists, and it was built in 1962. At the moment, we have 10 psychiatrists, the whole country, 15 psychologists, and about 450 mental health nurses. So the situation is not good from the government point of view, but the private sector is setting up private counseling services, which come at a fee of about between $50 to $100 per hour, and also about $600 per month for a three-month session, to go through that, which is beyond the reach of many Zambians, especially young men, most of whom are not in any employment. So it's not all gloomy, because now people are talking about it. Now the men are coming out. It's not like in the old days where it was like, okay, if you're a man, you can't talk, you'll be seen to be weak, you can't show your emotions. We are seeing young men cry, young men come out in the open to talk about the issues that they are facing.
It's not just the issue of having money to take care of yourself or having people to talk to. The stigmatization that is attached to people even owning up, coming out to say, look, I have this problem.
Yes, it's a big problem. And so men are looked at, as being macho and strong, and so they can't show their emotions. And that has largely got us to where we are right now, because the men have been quiet. The stigma is very, very strong against people that say they have problems, mental health issues. So people have been quiet and not discussing their issues or coming out in the open to discuss the issues that they are going through. And as a result of that, you find that, oh, there's been a suicide there. What was this person going through?
What I guess I want to find out is, in the absence of a psychologist or a hospital or so-called professional way of dealing with this, are there alternative ways that Zambian men are coping with such difficulties?
Yes, the church has come in very handy. Zambia has been declared a Christian nation, I think, since 1991. And so religion plays a very, very big role in that. So a lot of churches now are coming up with counseling sessions. They're coming up with men's conferences to discuss issues that men go through. They are also coming up with tailor-made programs for women, for men, that are going through all these issues so that they could could be helped. Previously, it wasn't the case, but now we are seeing more churches come up with such programs, especially also after, you know, someone has been divorced or they've gone through a breakup. There are programs in the church like Changes That Heal and other programs that are specifically meant for young men to go through and to know that they have a system in place that will help, a support system that will help them. And also traditional leaders are coming in handy. Families also are helping and supporting the young men through the process. And just recently, I was doing a story on alcohol abuse, and we saw that some young men, after being addicted to alcohol, we're coming out in the open. I'm talking about young men between the ages of 30 and 20 that were really, really addicted, but their families were there for them. They helped them through those processes, and now they've become champions against alcohol abuse. So there's peer-to-peer learning and peer-to-peer counseling, and also the different structures. People are coming together and realizing that mental health is a big problem that needs societal solutions.
DW correspondent Kathy Short in Zambia. Thank you very much. Perceptions of weakness about requiring therapy, fears of social disapproval, and cultural factors are some of the main barriers inhibiting men from seeking mental health assistance. And that has to stop. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced by Kai Nebe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.